This call is being recorded.
Hello.
What's up?
Hey.
How's it going?
Girl. Wait, hold on. I gotta put a different headphone.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
I gotta plug in different headphones. Hold on. What's up? What are you doing?
Girl, you're grinding up this weed, honey. You act like you know. You better act like you know.
I better. Get myself together.
Listen, we've been here too many times. Look. So, honey, let's just get right into it. Who got you fixed really quickly?
Absolutely.
Okay. So here's one.
Oh, God.
Girl.
I said I'm ready, and I'm like, oh, God.
Listen. A preacher's son used God message on mirror to seduce and dupe elderly woman, a jury was told. When 83-year-old Ann Moore Martin saw the first message that she thought was from God, written in iridescent white on her parlor mirror, she couldn't believe her luck. She was a devout Christian who had waited patiently for God to send her both love and a sign. Now it seemed he had sent both. Pray for Ben. Ben loves you, the message said. It disappeared a few hours later.
What?
And if you see this, it looks like someone wrote soap in soap. You know when people write in soap on the mirrors? You remember back in the days? That's exactly what this shit looked like. And I gagged. So
what?
The message was referring to Ben Field, the 28-year-old preacher's son with whom the octogenarian spinster had entered into a romantic relationship. It was also written by him, according to photos of his handiwork that were found on his cell phone. So this motherfucker is in the mirror taking selfies after he wrote that shit in soap.
So, wait, what? Wait.
You heard me.
He is being Joanne the scammer to the woman he's sleeping with?
The octogenarian woman he's sleeping with, yes.
Oh my God.
We must go on.
Yes,
Field is currently on trial in Britain's Oxford Crown Court for attempting to kill Moore Martin and for allegedly murdering Peter Farquhar, a 66-year-old retired English professor whom he had also seduced. Field's friend,
what?
Honey, a magician named Martin Smith, is also on trial for the crimes of attempted murder and murder. Both men deny the charges. This week, the court was shown selfies of Field in front of the many messages he scrawled on Moore Martin's mirror, along with flowery poems and love letters, and even a proposal for marriage. Field made meticulous notes and diagrams to help him remember what he wrote on which mirror and when he wiped it clean. The court was also shown handwritten lists of potential outcomes and ways the elderly woman might die, which included heart attack, electrical device, dehydration, stare, sex, in the bath. My nigga, this nigga wrote sex.
What?
He's gonna fuck that bitch to death. Jesus.
No. Man died from... What? Excuse me. What the hell? Why is sex so low? What is going on? Sir, I'm going to fuck her to death. See, I feel like she'll have more stamina than you.
You see how these niggas just don't think shit through? Because they'll let him fuck around and end him if she pop her dentures out. But
hello?
We're moving forward. Moving forward. Through his lawyer, he has admitted to fraudulently entering into a romantic relationship for the purpose of duping the older woman into leaving him her house and other possessions, which she initially did, but he denies plotting to kill her. Anne Marie Blake, the former headmistress's niece, finally convinced her aunt that Field was just after her money when she suffered an inexplicable seizure in 2017. She told the court that her aunt was devastated when she realized what Field was doing. She was tortured by it and found it very difficult to get her head around the betrayal. She said to me, "I am such an intelligent woman. How could I let this happen to myself?" The court was also shown Moore's Martin's desperate letters to Field, asking him to confirm that he had really loved her. Other than the sheer oddity that a 28-year-old man would be sexually attracted to a woman three times his age, Blake told the court that she found Field weird. During Moore Martin's hospitalization for her seizures, Field continued to call and ask Blake not how her aunt was, but if she was dead. Moore Martin was released from the hospital but died shortly afterward. She went from being very sociable and going out and doing things to being bedbound. She blames Field, who she believes was poisoning her aunt. Oh, man. The court also heard a telephone call Moore Martin made to her bank to withdraw all the money she had in an account to help the brother of a very dear friend who might die if she did not fund a kidney dialysis machine the national health system would not provide. As the elderly often do, Moore Martin felt the need to explain to the teller in great detail just how she intended to spend the money, even naming Field and his brother and the fact that their father was a preacher. The money she later wrote in a note that was entered into evidence was for Field's brother, Tom, who had actually never had a kidney problem in his life. Still, prosecutors said they were able to bill Moore Martin for some $38,000 for the machine. Field's brother, who was charged with fraud in the kidney dialysis scam, has admitted his guilt. Field met Moore Martin through Farquhar, who lived just two houses down in the sleepy hamlet of Maids Morton, northwest of London. The court had previously heard how Field allegedly seduced the closeted professor and then drugged him by lacing his toast with poison or spiking his drink with bioethanol fuel. Farquhar was found dead on his sofa in October 2015 of apparent alcohol poisoning. So Farquhar was a professor who lived two houses down from Martin Moore, and he was in the closet, so the preacher's son seduced him and then poisoned him.
What in the... What kind of talented Mr. Ripley shit is this?
So, God. But there's more.
Oh, God.
So, a few weeks later, Field was at Moore Martin's door, according to court testimony, while Farquhar and Moore Martin were friends. The court heard that Farquhar had never shared his sexual ties and informal marriage to Field with her. So, he got Farquhar to marry him, too. The court also heard that while Field admittedly preyed on the elderly woman's loneliness, he was betting a series of much younger women, including a lesbian couple.
Ooh. What in the hell is going on here?
This is a lot for a small town in England. Oh my gosh, this is juicy. In one explicit message exchange with his magician friend, Field, who goes by the sign-on name Stableman, recounted he was seeing a woman with a child who he refers to with the acronym MILF. Mom, I love it. Sometimes adding girlfriend, or GF for girlfriend. I'm cheating on old man with MILF GF, he writes. Then he explained in sophomoric detail about how he seduced the lesbian couple, all while seeing Farquhar, and eventually slept with one and then the other before betting both, at least according to his account. Or sister, they just go fuck your ass. Cause
what?
Later in the exchange, he wrote that sleeping with the lesbians was uncomplicated, adding no self-hatred involved.
Why would you?
Was he preying on them to hate themselves, or is he mad because they enthusiastically fucked him because they're open and healthy in their sexuality?
Why would there be self-hatred at all?
So with that hint of self-hatred, that makes sex more exciting?
Oh, God.
I hate him.
Because he probably thought if they hated themselves, he could probably, scam their asses, too.
Right, but they were like, "Nah, buddy, she had your
dick. We'll take the dick.
So I'm going to try your dick. It's not bad. Okay, we'll try it together." I mean, that's some lesbian shit. Like, yeah, talk about it and then make your decision from there. So before the trial adjourned for the week, the court also heard from 101-year-old Liz Zettel.
What?
Copies of her last will and testament were found in both Fields and Smith's possessions when they were arrested. Zettel could not confirm if she was a target, but when Field's attorney Tim Maloney suggested that perhaps his client was simply helping her type handwritten amendments, she snapped back, "I would say it was very unlikely I was a typist."
Thought I was a typist.
Oh, God.
I don't need your help, bitch. I know how to fucking type.
But, oh, Lord. To continue for a... Ooh. The court trial is scheduled to continue for another 6 weeks Both Field and Smith are expected to testify.
Jesus.
That was a lot.
That is, what in the hell?
That was a lot.
That is way, that's way too many. That's way too much. Like, why? Why? 101, I can type, bitch. Ooh, ooh, okay. Well, out. I just sat on my balls. That whole video makes me laugh because I'm like, there's so much more to that. Because I know that was painful as hell. And I don't even have balls, so I can only imagine.
Honey, I mean, the way he stopped, the way she stopped, she was like, oh, and oh.
It's like, oh.
It's so funny.
Oh, Lord have mercy. What?
This, that was a wild ass story, and I'm sorry, but that's the type of content I show up for. That's why I even log in.
This is my kind of carrying on. This is the kind of, why are y'all not doing more of this?
Okay, because this is why I sign on, because I need to know what's happening, and that was juicy.
It's like, okay. What?
They going around plotting and scamming on the old people and killing them. Ugh. And,
like, I'm a killer with sex, oh baby. She's not a man. Honey. She'll wear your dick out before you even get tired, so what's really going on?
Oh man, these children, I cannot.
This is when you know you really are a dumbass if you think that you gonna tie her out. I'm like, oh baby, please.
Well, fuck her to death.
Right. Yeah, okay. Sure, Jan. That's what's going to happen.
I believe you.
What a maroon. What a nincow poop.
Child, so.
Oh.
Okay, never mind. That was a lot. Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. So this topic is a little heavy, so deals with child abuse. So if you don't want to hear about that, you may want to go ahead and try to skip ahead. More than 120 MPs have written to the government asking for an inquiry into how family courts in England and Wales treat victims of domestic violence. At least four children have been killed by a parent in the last 5 years after a family court granted access. Dozens of parents have told the Victoria Derbyshire program their abusive ex-partners were granted unsupervised contact with their child. And the Ministry of Justice said a child's welfare was always the priority. Where there is evidence of domestic abuse, the courts are bound by law to consider potential harm to the child, and this overrides any presumption of parental involvement. When parents separate and cannot agree, arrangements for their children, when parents separate and cannot agree, arrangements for their children, a family court judge can make a legally binding decision on contact, including whether visits to a mother or father should be supervised. Mm-hmm. So the fundamental presumption in law is that it is in the best interest of the child to have contact with both parents. But it has led the courts ordering children to have contact with an alleged or known violent ex-partner, including some convicted of rape, assault, and drug offenses, the BBC has learned from dozens of affected parents. Due to legal restrictions, the BBC cannot always view family court documents to substantiate the claims made by parents. However, analysis of serious case reviews for England since 2014 shows four children have been killed during access granted by the family courts. It indicates that four further children have been sexually abused or seriously injured or both. In all of the cases, social services has been aware of a history of domestic abuse, allegations against the partner. The youngest victim was 5 months old. In one incident, a father who went on to kill both of his children was granted unsupervised contact with them in an interim order. The case review found that numerous professionals, including a social worker, a teacher, and an official from court support services, had been too scared to be left alone with him because of his aggressive behavior. Other cases refer to a parent having what is known as a toxic trio of addiction, mental illness, and a history of violence. The number of children injured by a parent during court order contact may in reality be much higher. The serious case reviews are generally conducted only in cases of serious harm or death. They are carried out in order to find ways that local agencies can improve their safeguarding practices. They do not investigate the family court, so it is not possible to establish whether the court's decisions led directly to the deaths. Oh, honey.
What?
I was completely naive about the family courts. She spent $130,000 legal fees to try to protect her children. Her ex-partner has been awarded regular unsupervised overnight contact with them. She says they have since come home with injuries and she has taken them to A&E. I'm assuming it's the emergency room over there. She's going by Mary in this article. Her name's been changed to protect her identity. Mary says her ex had previously been abusive towards her, which began when she was pregnant, pushing, slapping, throwing me across the room. After they separated, she called police when he turned up at her home uninvited and was aggressive towards her. He later applied to the family court for unsupervised contact with the children, which was granted. He had numerous criminal convictions for violent and drug offenses. I assume they'd see that to enable a violent man to take a relationship with his children, contact needed to be supervised, she says. But that's not how they see it at all. My solicitor told me, unless he's beating you black and blue, he'll be deemed a good enough father. Don't even bother trying. Oh. Mary says her children now wake up sobbing, and I just reassure them that no one is expecting them to stand up to their dad. She adds, nobody is saying that a child shouldn't have a relationship with their father. It just needs to be healthy and safe.
That whole thing, that is so interesting because you'll hear so many dudes who will hear stories of women who have been, you know, in domestic situations, who have been beaten by these men and they have kids and they don't, and the mother will keep the kids away from the father and then go, but I mean, that's his kid and that, and he's a good father. I'm like, no man that beats on his wife is a good father. There's no possible way. Because you're not even a good person. And you, I mean, I have known women who have been in domestic situations and those men have harmed their children. It's like it goes hand in hand. You think that a violent man stops with just his mate? He don't. It trickles right on down. It could be a push here, a slap there, or just mental abuse. It don't have to be physical. I'm like, it don't just stop with the partner.
It doesn't. It doesn't usually. And and it seems like you'd think, you know, like this lady was saying, that if he's had convictions, violent convictions, you know, for violence and drugs, mm-hmm. that they will take that into consideration when he's requesting, you know, visitation.
Right. And they don't.
They don't, no.
It's like, oh, no. I mean, yeah, he beat on her, but I mean, he's still, that's still the father. I'm like, I don't give a shit. I'm like, no.
People gotta get the fuck together and shit.
It's like, ugh, disgusting. I'm like, and y'all just let him. I'm all about rehabilitation for folks, but there are some people who, yeah, just castrate them. Just castrate them. Just, you know, yeah, that'll rehab it. Just, you know, take their dicks away.
And we have so many stories, you know, in the news lately of, you know, I don't know how many times we've seen it. We just saw it with a little girl in Texas and she was just in Arkansas, but, you know, it's always some cockamamie story. And then next thing, you know, the mom is on the news looking shaky and ridiculous and the boyfriend is a suspect. And I'm...
The boyfriend that was beating on her. She had a domestic case against him. And then it turned into, well, why would you just let him? Why would you bring your child to him? Because some court probably told her that she had to.
You know, and the thing about it is, I think this falls on women the most because let's be realistic. When a relationship falls apart, who's most likely to pick up the slack with, as far as the children? And usually that responsibility falls to the women. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why we do see that the, you know, majority of these types of situations are with women, but also too, they're preyed upon. by these men just the same. Mm-hmm. But it... It's sad.
Yeah. It's like a lot of women in that situation, they're living on a hamster wheel. It's like you're running and running and running and not going anywhere. Because you'll have courts who don't take you seriously or be like, well, I mean, that is his child. I'm like, I don't give a shit who he is. Stop letting these violent, violent people who aren't like trying to stop. They just want to get away with it. And then you're letting innocent children who won physically, even if they wanted to, couldn't fight back, even if they wanted to. It's like, why are you just letting these very violent people around children? And then if something happens to the child, you look at the mother like, why wouldn't you do anything? I'm like, what was I supposed to do? Mm. It's like, what was I supposed to do? He beat on me. I tried to get away. And then it's like, it's some flimsy ass order that, you know, it's a piece of paper. They don't give a shit about that. They'll still try to cut. How many women have been killed with protective orders? They don't give a shit about that piece of paper.
Yeah, it's not really going to stop much.
No. And then it's like, you can't. It's weird that we'll be like, women need to choose better mates. I'm like, but we're not asking mates to be better people.
Be better mates. How about that?
Like, no, I'm like, I'm not responsible for you, like, making poor decisions or being a trash ass dude. You're a terrible person. Do better.
Everybody's got to do better. Okay, so. Are you ready to get into tonight's main event?
Yep. Let's go. I'm ready.
Okay. So, I think it was last week, news broke that Jason Mitchell was being dropped by his agent, manager, and removed from the Shy and Desperado over misconduct allegations. And I think when the news first broke, news broke that he was being dropped by literally everybody. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of like, wow, something's going on. And then you hear little whispers or rumors of, you know, sexual misconducts or improper conduct allegations, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who don't know, Jason Mitchell played Eazy-E in the NWA biopic Straight Outta Compton. Mm-hmm. And he, for all intents and purposes, has been a critically acclaimed actor ever since. I talked to many of my guy friends, and they like, "Oh, that's Eazy-E." Like, they really call this nigga Eazy-E. Like,
wow. Well, all right. Now that we got that out the way, what? He's Eazy-E,
actor, and just kind of was a little disturbing because I saw him in Mudbound as well, and I really did enjoy his performance. I thought he did.
Oh, okay.
He really did, and he was released from his representation, including his agent and manager, as well as being removed from two of his most prominent projects. Mm-hmm. So reps from UTA and Good Universe and as well as Fox and Showtime have all confirmed Mitchell's been dropped from representation in the aforementioned projects, declining further comment. And they explained, saying, and the Hollywood Reporter, a source with knowledge of the Showtime series says Tiffany Boone, who played Mitchell's girlfriend on The Shy, was among several actresses in the series who had issues with Mitchell. She made repeated complaints of sexual harassment and allegedly felt so unsafe with her co-star that at times her fiance, Dear White People actor Mark Richardson, came to set when she shot scenes with him. And for this article, she declined to comment. The source also says Boone ultimately informed producers at Fox 21 that she could no longer work with Mitchell. Initially, she was retained while she was released at her request to pursue other projects. Other actresses of the series also were said to have had problems with Mitchell. It's unclear what finally led the studio to act. Mitchell has not yet started filming Desperados, a comedy set in Mexico, when he was replaced in recent weeks by Lamour Morris. Oh, the black guy from New Girl. Interesting.
Okay.
A source close to the project, which Lionsgate is producing for Netflix, says the producers received specific information, which was investigated immediately and thoroughly and dealt with as quickly as possible. They like, oh, he ain't bringing that shit over here. Netflix referred queries to Good Universe, which declined to comment. Sources said all three of Mitchell's co-stars on the film had complaints about Mitchell. So in late April, it was announced Showtime's The Chi had been renewed for a third season. At the end of the second season, Mitchell's Brandon and Boone's Jerrica were undergoing complications in their relationship. It's definitely a roller coaster ride because they're two people who love each other, but from totally different worlds. And you start to see their worlds become more prominent as they both try to be more successful, Mitchell told The Root in an interview earlier in the month. Brandon, he can't catch a break. And I'm biased about because I personally felt like Jerrica should have heard him out regarding the situation with Kevin. But you get to see his growth between then, and it's a roller coaster ride. Brandon definitely wants the best thing for him and Jerrica, and he knows Jerrica is a great thing for him. And The Root did reach out to Mitchell's legal team for comment. And, excuse me, it says initially he was retained while she was released at her request to pursue other projects. Wait, hold on. For comment. Okay, so it's not really saying what they said. Now, it's not clear if they didn't. Let me see. So it doesn't really go into all that. So I'm not going to read that part because I don't want to misconstrue it. But I mean, ultimately, that's just kind of like the foundation to this story because it goes on. Or it's gone on, where we found that on set, there was an African American woman who was a showrunner.
Okay, go ahead.
She has since come forward as well to state that she had issues with Jason Mitchell as well. And that, she had escalated her complaints to, she took her complaints rather to HR directly. And HR had put on a number of trainings for sexual harassment and some other topics dealing with, you know, workplace conduct. And that they had, you know, these meetings and these trainings and everyone involved in the crew were subject to, including Mitchell, and that despite on set having had these trainings, the behavior persisted. And that's the gist of what we're getting so far from the accounts of the people who were affected over there. Even some other people, like they, I think they, and they touched on it in this particular article when they did talk to the co-workers or the actors on set at the Desperado film for Netflix. They were saying like, yeah, he did have issues with them as well. And interestingly enough, those co-stars were men. So it's twofold as far as his behavior. It seems to be one of a harassing nature towards women and a violently aggressive nature towards men. But regardless, it's a issue that has been reported and, you know, documented and complained. And it just looks like, okay, if it got to the point where all of your representation dropped you, some shit is coming down the pipe.
Child.
Whew. Something's got to be coming down the pipe.
Something is happening. When I saw that, I was like, this nigga did it.
And listen, and I really was thinking like, maybe this is what it looks like in the age of Me Too now, that people are not going to play around. Like the minute you do something, you know, improper, you know, this is what's going to happen, which, you know, for some people, you know, there's a lot of, you know, that's just too much. And then for some people, it's just like, you know, oh, that's okay. The thing is that at this point, you shouldn't be fucking with people at all.
You think?
You really shouldn't be at work fucking with people. You know what I mean? You know, it is what it is. Like, you shouldn't be fucking with people. Keep your hands to yourself, you know, and stay in your lane.
Yeah, you know what? When she all this stuff started going down, and they announced that he was dropped here, and just like we didn't know what was going on, just that he was dropped. I'm like, whatever it is, that nigga did it. It's like, oh, he did it. Oh, he definitely did it. It's like, oh, I don't know what it is, but he done did. And then stuff started coming out, and I went, okay. Oop.
So, you know, on the one hand, you know, moving forward into the story, the showrunner, Miss Floyd, has also said that she's also come out to say that the producer of the show, Lena Waithe, was very much aware of what happened and was aware of what was going on. And then the sort of topic turned to, you know, for her as a Black woman and lesbian, you know, how she responded to the situation. And I think it was, you know, we unpacked it as a group, mm-hmm. you know, came to our conclusions. But for the sake and purposes of this show, you know, I want to go over, I want to put all the information out there that we have first, because yep. I still think that there's more information to be had.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really need to jump to conclusions, you know, at this point, because once all everything comes out, I think we'll have more than enough information for it to be clear. And regardless of that, people still won't think what they won't think.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not here to tell y'all what to think, but pretty much what the showrunner said was that, you know, she knew about it, she was aware. Yeah, she attended the HR seminars, but as far as, you know, dealing with Jason, there was not enough done.
Mm-hmm.
Because the behavior persisted entirely too long.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't until Lena started making comments, you know, about the situation. Because, I mean, I'm sure there's some scrutiny there. And, yeah, definitely. She's definitely trying to keep her ship afloat and keep putting out her content, you know. You know, because one thing, you know, just from the reaction of people who watched the show, they're more disappointed that he did that because they liked his character and they liked the show. But I've not heard anybody say they were going to stop watching The Chi because of this.
Mm-hmm. Why would they? He is not, is he a man? See, that's the thing. I don't watch it. I'm probably even going to end up binging it when I have some time. But I want to know, it seemed like he was more of like a supporting cast member anyway. He wasn't like a main cast member. Is that what I'm to understand?
Yeah, I've only watched a few episodes because something else was coming out. Was on when it first came on, and I didn't get into the first season because I was watching something else. I cannot remember what it was. Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, casually keep up with some, you know, with certain things, and I did watch an episode a few weeks ago when him and the girl was getting into it because he wanted, you know, he's got his food truck and stuff, and it was a whole thing. She comes from, you know, the other side of the tracks, and he's from the hood, and so he likes being a regular, degular, schmegular Joe. He likes his food truck. He likes, you know, getting the money to serve and to cook. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to be anything other than what he wants to be. And she's, you know, more of the mindset, like, baby, we're going to move together and progress ahead. But for whatever reason in the show, their characters is just not clicking. And so there's a conflict there. So that was like the episode that I saw. They were at some fancy schmancy party and her parents were making comments.
Okay.
Anyway, regardless. But that was one of a couple episodes that I've seen. And there is more than enough cast on that show where if they wrote him out and replaced him with somebody else, you know, if they replace him with somebody suitable enough, niggas will forget who he will, you know, forget he was there first or just deal with it and keep going because the show is good. I didn't get the impression that it was going to make or break the show, whether he was there or not. People were still going to watch and support it. And the people who really like it were very vocal and adamant about how much they liked it. And they were also, you know, just kind of pissed off. Like, why is he fucking up my show?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, so it was, I was more pleased to hear that than to see people saying like, well, she stayed, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, listen, this girl had to bring her fiance on set with her. And you're still questioning her.
Mm-hmm.
She asked to be released.
And y'all released her.
Right. Like she
and
like,
kept what? Him. It's like, oh. Okay, go ahead. Just, oh. Okay. All right. I'm up. All right.
He's a systemic nigga. I think it's safe to say that at this point.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely systemic at this point.
Yeah, because I think he was out on set filming and he got into like a big bar fight.
Mm-hmm.
What film was that? I can't remember.
I think it's a film that already came out, but he, you know, got into a bar fight. I think he had somebody punched the fuck out of him. So I think it's like he had to stop filming it because, you know, he had a mark on his fucking face.
Oh, okay. He hurt somebody, but not quite sure.
Yeah. I'm like, who is this like crazy ass dude? And I'm like, the discussion around this incident is really what's starting to overcook my grits. Because as much as I love Lena, and she could be my studsman right now, she is making me look at her real funny. It's like, what are you doing? We say all the time that Black women are not mules, so why did you think putting a Black woman in charge was going to change something? Ma'am, she ain't your mule either. What the fuck are you doing? And y'all knew. This isn't something that y'all didn't know. Y'all knew. If she's been complaining since season one, why didn't y'all do? I'm like, sorry. Your show is early enough or young enough for you to fucking fire him. Why didn't you fire his ass? Replace his ass. What is going on here?
I'm not clear on whether or not Lena had any direct conversations with him, but I know that she did do an interview with Charlamagne.
Nope.
Breakfast.
Oh, sorry. Nope. I didn't even watch it, but you know damn well why I didn't watch it. I'm like, nope, not one click. Not one click, not one stream, not one view, not for me. Absolutely not. Y'all can tell me. Give me the transcript. Somebody else watch that shit and tell me what was said. I'll look at Tanja's article. Shout out to Tanja. That's my girl from The Root. I will read her article on it. I haven't done it yet, but I will not be watching that shit.
Let me tell you something. I just went ahead and read the synopsis on it. If you care to watch and look, you can totally do that. But just from the way this has been playing out, so this is the way we're getting the story now. This is the breakdown. That during season one, it became known that he had a tendency to violent outbursts and to sexually harass people on set. And that...
Season one. God damn it.
And Lena was quoted to say that, you know, she's just starting. You know, she didn't have very much say-so over things. As far as while she was the producer and name, the real power was from the studio. And that, you know, she had to work to prove herself before she could really take the reins or be in control. And so she was saying that she did the best that she could with what she had at the time. And that, you know, she just made the choice to fire the initial showrunner, who initially was a white man, because he was made aware of the incident and he did nothing. And so he was let go, and that's when she hired the African-American woman, because she felt that with an African-American woman in place, she could rein the behavior in and kind of have a greater check on it, and that the actresses would feel more comfortable working with her and dealing with her. However, what this woman found as the showrunner, she herself became the target of Mitchell and his aggression and his advances. She had also gone to HR to complain about his behavior, and that is when this the team or the members and crew, the cast and things like that on set had to do the HR training for sexual harassment and consent, et cetera, et cetera. And so even despite all of those trainings, he still, it did not change his behavior at all. And that it wasn't, and even though the actress Boone was still, you know, complaining about it, she got to a point where she couldn't take it anymore and was asked to be released. And then the showrunner just absolutely has been fed up. So what's not clear to me, and maybe it's clear to you, or maybe this was gone, you know, someone's gone over it and I just missed it, I'm not quite sure, is what was it that was the catalyst for him being removed from his agency and both shows and his all of his representation?
Yeah.
It's something has had to have happened. And so now, because we're getting after the fact from on set, they were like, oh yeah, that motherfucker been a problem. And it was like, it's been a problem. He's a problem since we started. And not only was he a problem since we started, oh, by the way, enough people were informed of his behavior for something to have been done and it didn't get done. Because that's the bottom line. You know,
the black ass bottom line.
As far as Lena goes, I, to an extent, like, I don't want to make excuses for her because I feel that she, you know, should be responsible if it's necessary. But as the producer on the show, that she does have certain, you know, inherent responsibilities. It may not be, it might be, it's what I would call the unwritten rules. You know, and they're everywhere. As far as, you know, like in the office at work, there are unwritten rules, like rules you know or you should know. If you don't know, you could be doing something to potentially stop you from advancing in life or your career because you're breaking a rule, and, you know, whatever, whatever. I feel like for her, I feel like she may have been, it's one of two things. On the one hand, you know, I feel like everyone's position is that you are black, you are lesbian, and you are a woman. You of all people should understand how it feels to be harassed and or marginalized. And people really are looking to her to, yes, be that, you know, be that person. Like, this is why we've championed you. This is why we are rooting for you, because we want you there, because we want you to, yes, speak out and do the right thing. You know what I'm saying? That is, seems to be everyone's expectation of her across the board.
Right.
Whether or not Lena accepts that, that is the expectation of her. And so on the other hand, you know, she could very well feel like, you know, this is my first, you know, show out the gate. I don't want to rock the boat and make it crazy. Like, it's a success. You know, like, let me just get this win. You know what I'm saying? And if he's being, you know, ridiculous, like, you know, we'll deal with it. And maybe she did think that, you know, bringing in the showrunner would be enough, you know, because, you know, also too, as a black woman, we don't want to be the one to tear down a black man. And that's every black woman's plight. We don't want to be the one to bring down a black man. We cover for them and we coddle them sometimes, you know, because they are so under attack by society. But sometimes it's like, look, nobody can be free if we all aren't free. And that even means if you, your oppressor looks like you, you have to be willing to stand up and speak that truth to power.
Correct. Okay. So while you were talking,
okay,
now it seemed like the culmination of something that happened on Desperados, because he had issues on that set too, issues on the shot. Now I wanted to go and look at what the cast of Desperados looked like.
Ooh, gone, girl.
So the cast includes Nassim Pedrad, Heather Graham, Anna Camp, Sarah Burns. Those are the actresses And I'm looking at IMDb.
Okay, because I was going to say in the article, they didn't name them.
Yeah, so these are the, these are, now when I click on full cast, I only got 8 people. Mm-hmm. The other people that are in the movie is Robbie Amell. I don't know who the hell that is.
Right.
Lamorne Morris, who's the one who replaced Jason. Right. Toby Gray and Scott Rogers.
Yeah, those must be the main characters because that's who this article named.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm looking at the cast, and that was my thought of like what had to have happened. Like he started being this way towards a bunch of non-black women. That's when you're like, oh, we gonna stop this. Cause then he can get on a bigger budget movie and act like a whole ass. And then we'd have to shut down production. Because here it is, when you look at the movies he's been in, he did, you know, Straight Outta Compton, which basically, I guess, was his big break. Then he went to The Chi. He's still not a main character, per se, but it's still a majority black cast. And now you're branching into more movies with more visibility and less black people. So he's been able to skate with this shit. Because he's been doing it to black women. Now you stepping onto a bigger stage. It's a Netflix movie, but it's still a bigger stage with more white people. And you thought you can play those same fucking games. No, you can't. They will get rid of your ass. That's why he's gone. Because you stop doing this, being this shitty ass person to just black women.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you're like, actresses on the, oh, what do they look like? And the bad part about it is that it shouldn't have had to be this way. Because he should have been fucking fired season 1. Period.
He was told by his management team to stay out of the bars and just stop drinking. And he did all the advice they gave him from all the accounts, they were like, he didn't listen. And so it seemed like, you know, it's twofold for me. While I feel like it seemed like he was very well supported and had people in his corner who believed in him, you know, I wonder if they saw this behavior and were willing to work with it and let it slide because A, they felt his talent was so great, or B, they just saw dollar signs and didn't want to, you know, give up their potential meal ticket or gravy train. Because I mean, that's really how most of these people, these bad actors in Hollywood are able to get away with some of the things they get away with for so long, because they're profitable to people.
Right.
I just think it's interesting that with him, it seems like, you know, the people around him supported him and believed him. He was talented, but it's like, you know, what else or what more could they have done to get him the help that he needs?
Right.
Or needed, you know, because I think at this point it's safe to say he's done.
Oh, yeah. But the bad part about it is like in about a year or so, he'll be just fine. People will act like people will not remember this. Because when we come to people who have fucked up, and this is us, and this is the collective us, we are selective in what we remember. And this may not be something people will remember. They might be like, oh, no, I don't remember that. We remember and I like to use her as an example because I see both sides of this. We remember when Aisha Curry say some fucked up shit. We remember. But we, for some odd reason, don't remember when Kevin Hart say fucked up shit.
Hey.
But and then tell us to like, oh, just get over it. And then right out this other side of your mouth. You remember when this white man said something in 1964? But you just said we should. Oh, it's based on who you like. Got it. I forgot. It is the whole thing. I'm just like, I'm looking at how everybody is. And I will give Lena this. At least she's saying that I got to own my part in it. Even if she's also saying, I shouldn't have let nobody else do my job. Wait, what? It's like, I get it, because you are the producers. Like, the thing about it is, everybody, I didn't know she wasn't the showrunner for the second season. Here's the thing, I didn't even know that shit. It was like, she's not running the show? I mean, I thought she was. That's the thing, you just don't know. But it's like, if you hear about the Shy, her name is attached to it. You can't run from that. Baby, your name is all over this, whether you the day-to-day showrunner, whether you stop producing it, stop being in the writer's room. Lena Waif is synonymous with the Shy.
And
so you have to own that part. And for her to, I don't know, it's like she owned part of it and then she disowned part of it too.
Well, also as well, she, you know, well, you know, she's working on other projects and mm-hmm. didn't have all the time to focus on what was going on this one particular show. So I pulled up some of her comments, and she says she didn't let actor Jason Mitchell's alleged misconduct slide while he was on her Showtime series, The Shy. See, her Showtime series, The Shy. Even though she knew about it. The idea of me hearing about something and not doing anything just isn't true, the show's creator said on The Breakfast Club on Thursday. Waif said she wasn't aware of accusations against Mitchell until the first season of The Shy had wrapped. She then spoke with the co-star actress Tiffany Boone, who had reportedly accused him of misconduct. When Tiffany and I did have a conversation, we did discuss things that just weren't appropriate, and I was like, you know, this is not cool. I feel awful that you had an experience on my set that was unpleasant, and was like, here's what I'm going to do to change that. I'm going to hire a woman of color as the showrunner. Waif said that although she was the show's creator, she didn't feel like she had the power or clout to make major decisions until the show season had finished. It's just kind of how things go, she said. When it's your first thing, you are almost an employee on your own show. According to The Hollywood Reporter, his alleged behavior consisted of a bad temperament and inappropriate remarks made on set. Following Mitchell's recent firing from The Shy, Mitchell was ousted from, Netflix Desperado. Oh, and he was also removed as a nominee for an MTV Movie and TV Award. So she went on to hire Ayanna Floyd, and a decision she described as a direct reflection of me trying to change the attitude in the environment on that set. However, Floyd made her aware that while filming season 2 was underway, Mitchell's behavior was persisting and not a lot has changed in that area, despite having thought the issue was resolved and both parties had decided to return. So Waif recalled, so that when they say both parties, I think initially Tiffany was going to leave, but then she decided to return, and that's when we get into season 2, and that's when she was like, okay, now y'all niggas can release me. I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So Waif recalled the newly minted showrunner saying, things are uncomfortable on set, but I'm handling it, and you sit tight, and it's a legal matter now, but she now wishes she handled the situation differently. I wish I would have just reached out to Tiffany on my own, she said. I trusted somebody to do my job, but I wanted to trust my showrunner at the time. The situation wasn't handled appropriately. In a statement to The Hollywood Reporter, Floyd confirmed that she knew of Jason Mitchell's alleged behavior before taking the job, but that Waif was also aware. When I took the helm in season 2, are you okay?
Oh, okay, go ahead.
It was Lena who informed me of the issues between Jason Mitchell and Tiffany Boone from season 1, and that Tiffany was thinking of leaving the show because of it. As a result of this information, I discussed Tiffany's claims with the studio's HR department and set up HR presentations for the writers, cast, and crew. Ultimately, everyone was well aware of Jason's behavior in his multiple HR cases, including Lena, the creator and an executive producer of the show, who was very involved at the studio and network level. She also said that she became a target of Mitchell's and filed her own complaint. I did everything I could with his behavior by speaking with the studio's HR department multiple times and instructing one actress to call HR herself before I became a target of his rage and inappropriateness, and had to report him to HR as well, she added. But Waif stands by the fact that bringing Floyd on set to oversee the daily happenings of the show was her effort to prevent any workplace misconduct from happening. For anyone to say I would stand by while a woman is being mistreated or harassed and not doing anything is just not true. It's not who I am, she said. I was trying to put people in power to change, but ultimately that wasn't the answer. I'm always the answer, and that's the biggest lesson I've learned in all of this. She also said that she had a conversation with Mitchell to shut down any behavior. It's just not true that I just knew he was acting crazy and I just wasn't doing anything, she insisted. I, at one point, talked to him just human to human and said, you need to be respectful of any woman on set. You need to be respectful of everybody. Even though he's an actor on a show of mine, his behavior is also a representative of me, and I can't have that, she added. Boone left the show on her own accord, which Wave said she didn't protest. Ultimately, my regret is that an actress on my set felt unsafe, and that is not something I would ever want, she said. Reps for Mitchell and Boone did not immediately respond to our request for comment. So, what does that sound like to you?
Okay. Why is everybody playing hot potato with the fact that everybody fucking knew that he was trash?
Everybody knew.
How do y'all all... My thing, I'm stuck at the fact that, I was aware, and he still could work on your fucking show? How? And what did you think? Sticking a black woman there was going to fix shit? Stop. We not your fucking mule. He is trash. Fire his ass. What are we doing? It's like, what? I'm sorry, what did the black female showrunner supposed to do? She is fucking mother? Are you kidding? Are y'all really kidding? And like making everybody go to a class because one person in your fucking cast is trash. Fucking fire him. He been cast trash since day fucking one and y'all kept him? No. And like, that's why I'm like, oh yeah, he started harassing white women. And they're like, nope, get him the fuck out of here. Then all of a sudden, just dominoes. I'm like, yeah. But he can be trash to black women on that cast for two fucking seasons? Fuck y'all. And I love Lena Waithe. She is my studsman forever.
But she got to do. She got to be more quick on that.
It was just like, that is so utterly ridiculous to me. It's like, wait a minute. It was okay that she had to leave, and y'all let her leave. Y'all didn't even try to keep her ass. So now I'm wondering, like, what happened to her character? Did her character die? What the hell happened? That. It's okay, like, she's expendable, but he ain't? What? Ugh. Just... Lena and I are in a fight. We are in a fight. We are not on speaking terms right now. She will have to bake me a cake or get me a very large cookie or get me a gift card to Ulta because Juvia's place... concealers and foundation is now there. So she's going to have to like get back in my good graces because all of y'all looking real fucking funny. Because the showrunner's like, it ain't my fault. I'm like, bitch, you knew. Yes, it is. Like, y'all, I'm like, no, all of y'all getting all of this. Don't be like, oh, what? I want to see what Lena has to say. It ain't going to be what y'all want to hear. It ain't gonna be what you want to hear, and it ain't what I want to hear, but I'm watching everybody say the exact same thing. We were aware. How? It's like, how is he still on your fucking show? How is he still coming back for season 3? How? And y'all knew, and y'all thought like showing some fucking videos and making everybody in the cast go to a class and putting a black woman as the showrunner was gonna fix something? What? Instead of just doing the easiest thing, which is get fucking rid of him. But of course, we don't care about black women. We don't care about their pain. We don't care about their comfort that we are just going to go. We're going to dance around it because God forbid we let some black man fail on our watch. No, fuck that nigga. Let him go. What is going on here? Like, do you know how many other talented niggas out there who don't harass women, who would love to be in his spot? I bet you can find at least 10 of them in the neighborhood watching y'all film this fucking show. It's like, you could have found somebody else. Fuck y'all for this. It's so much so that her own goddamn fiance, who, by the way, I want to ask, where the fuck is Dear White People season 3? I'm tired, y'all. Where the fuck is my show? The fuck that he got to leave his job to come sit on a set, just sit there, just so you won't do nothing. Why he got to do all that? Get rid of his ass. What are we doing? So if, God forbid, something did happen, the fiance beat his ass, y'all would want the fiance arrested and want him barred from the set. So you going to like get him like a potential case? Because you can't just, I don't know, fire him and find somebody else, recast, kill off the character. I don't give a goddamn what y'all do. Like, find something else. I'm like, I don't know. And I haven't watched the show. I probably will still watch the show. I'm like, let me. And I'm going to look at scenes and go, do you think he could have died like right here? Like right here. You know, the food truck could have just ran, like rolled downhill, could have caught fire and exploded. I feel like y'all have had plenty of time to get rid of his ass and y'all didn't. Y'all just want to go to do a skirt around it because he wasn't harming no non-black women. So, or, well, he harming black women, so, you know, we're fine.
Or because he was around predominantly African-American productions, or in proximity to, you know, cast with large African-American actors, that his behavior, you know, may have been more towards them on set, maybe less towards some of the others. But once it was directly at them, it became all too much. I mean, I kind of forgot what I was trying to say. Or maybe I'm just not articulating right. Maybe, you know, yes, I get it. I do believe that to an extent, him getting kicked off the set of Desperados, I agree without having all the facts. I agree that yes, the racial makeup of the cast probably did have a serious impact on him being let go. In addition to, you know, maybe he's escalating. Maybe he's getting to a point now where, you know, he's no longer a belligerent drunk, but a nasty drunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I mean, regardless, it doesn't look good. It just, it does not look good. And it's like, if we're going to do diversity and inclusion, it means really taking meaningful steps to do something, you know, that has not been done before, or really making impactful changes and finding out what those impactful changes are. Because she fired the showrunner and brought in I still can't get past the part where, like, just let him go or put him on ice for a season and be like, you're not coming back till you pull it together. Mm-hmm. And I'm, as a fan, it's like, in a sense, you want to know why it was handled the way that it was, because I want to know where you land on this topic.
What?
You know, like, as far as Lena's concerned, like, I don't want to question, you know, her. I mean, I hate that it may sound like I'm questioning her character, but I want to know, you know, was she in the camp of, I don't want to tear down another black man, or I'm just, you know, going to protect my pockets?
So, I think part of it is that. I think it's a little bit of all of that. It's a little bit of, I don't want to be party to tearing down a black man in front of these white people. I think it's like, look, this is my show. My name is connected to it. I don't want to mess up the whole production. I don't want to tear down the show, because then, you know, there are hundreds of other people who work on this show behind the camera and in front of the camera. And so she didn't want to tear down the show. That is like, I got to protect the show. I don't want to tear down a black man. Let me do something. But I will give her this, that she said, I could have done more. But, you know, in other news, water is wet.
Yeah, it's I really wish she was a lot quicker on the uptick on this one.
Right. He should have been gone season one, period. I'm sure
she's wishing the same thing for herself. Yeah. Like, I get it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's just moving forward, she's going to totally clean it up. Like, be a lot more vigilant on set and be a lot more, you know, aware of who you're hiring.
Yeah.
I don't think any of this behavior is new for him.
Right. Oh, no, it's not. And it seems like he is carrying this behavior, but because there hasn't been any real consequences, he keep doing this shit. So because there haven't really been any consequences of nothing's really, it's like he's been like Teflon Dre. And no, like he's been Teflon, nothing's really been sticking. It's kind of like Teflon. People have been pulling, yes, I'm sorry. I watched the show The League. And there was a guy, and they called him Teflon Dre because he was like Teflon. Nothing, you know, nothing stuck to him.
I get but it.
It was just like, you're putting up all these little card houses. You're putting up these little stumbling blocks around him instead of just knocking his ass down. I was like, don't put him on a set if he's a danger to your cast. Don't put him on your set. If one, he could fuck shit up, don't keep somebody like that and let other talent. I haven't watched the show. I don't know how talented she is. I'm just going to say you're like, now she's out of work. Now she has to go find something else. Now, if there were people who were looking at the show or looking at her talent, now they can't anymore because she ain't fucking on the show.
Oh, I know.
So it's like people are giving critical acclaim to him, but what about her? I'm like, was her character not that big? I don't know. I'm like, I'm at a loss. I don't know. So somebody can tell me like, what was her role and was it like a significant role and will you miss her on the show? I think people were saying they would miss her. I don't know. So that part I don't know. But it's just sad all around. Do I want to see a black man torn down? No. But what I will stop doing is protecting trash ass dudes. Trash ass niggas, I'm not protecting y'all asses. I'm not. At all.
Sad.
Absolutely. Because I swear, because notice, now, I may have issues with what Lena said. A lot of people have. You notice ain't no men really protecting Lena now, are they? They ain't jumping on that grenade. And that's the part, that's why I'm like, I'm done defending trash ass niggas, because guess what? All them grenades black women throw themselves on, a black man would never do that for them. At least the majority of them will not. There are some out there that will. Don't get me wrong. But not in the numbers. The numbers. The math ain't mathing. There might be one or two, but the majority, nah. They'll let that soldier fall on her own sword. And that's the sad part. But you know, unity, y'all. You know, black liberation. We must stick together. As long as we're defending a black man.
No,
that and was... I still love Lena. I'm like, I still love her. I do.
Yeah,
I'm... It's a tough spot. I get, and that's the thing. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to think that we don't know that Lena's in a tough spot, because she is. Yeah. This is a tough spot.
It is. Listen, I don't envy her at the moment, like, because it's like, on the one hand, you know. She's just here to do her work. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's right. Worked for this opportunity.
Right.
And, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
She should have did more.
Right.
That's just where...
We can agree on that.
It's like, yeah, that's just kind of where I fall with it. Like, you know, yeah. Like, next time, do better. Like, don't let there be a next time.
Right. Right.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah, don't let there be a next time. Tighten up and, you know, really learn from this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. That's it.
Yeah. But this is all very interesting. And
pretty much.
You know, like it was a lot to unpack.
Yes.
It was a lot to unpack, man. Like, I don't want to, I don't know. You don't want to read too much into it, but you want, you know, you're hoping for the best.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
just verklempt.
I am. Just, I don't even know what to say.
Say that it'll get better.
It will. That I can say, but it will get better.
It's got to. We ain't got no choice.
Right. We don't.
Nope.
Lord, Chile.
All righty. So, how you feeling now?
Lighter. Because I had to get that off my chest. I'm like, no. Let's call a thing.
Let's call a thing, beloved.
Yes, beloved. Beloved! Stop it! Shut up! Stop it! Yep.
What?
You didn't see the new preview for the new episode? She's telling them to shut up and stop it. I'm like, ooh! Uh-oh. Uh-oh, auntie is done being freelance. She about to be a real auntie.
Shut up!
Oh no.
Okay, that's enough. I'm being good. I am still a freelance auntie. I will give y'all my rates. Cause this shit ain't free or cheap. Okay.
You in this freelance auntie business.
Look, I give out invoices, hunty. Invoices.
I ain't even mad at you.
Hey.
So tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me. Well, first I'll give you the show stuff. So for Mocha Minutes, the handle for Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter is at Mocha Minutes. You can also find me on Twitter at Sunny Twote That. That is SunnyTwoteThat. And you can find the show on Apple now that iTunes is blah, blah, blah. You can find me on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, CastBox, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Also, if you search for me on Luminary, I'm sorry, search for Mocha Minutes on Luminary, you'll find it there too.
All right. That is excellent. And yay. I'm so happy that you were here.
Thank you so much for having me. I love it here.
Yes! Having you. And you know, we love coming over to the Mocha Minute, to Mocha.
Yes, yes. Okay. You'll be coming through, hunty, because we're having the conversation that nobody wants to have.
Uh-oh. Listen. It's what we're here for.
Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of glad that I'm not doing it in June, and it's not, because I feel like it would have been way too performative to have it in June. So that's why I thought July and August would be a better time.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, I didn't want to, it wasn't the goal to throw anybody under the bus or to point fingers making accusations. Really, it was just
right.
Back.
Yeah.
And say, okay, these are the facts. Here's where it is and what's happening. And like I said, I really believe more information is going to come out.
Oh, yeah.
that's why I'm kind of just kind of waiting to see what other information there is before I come to a final conclusion. But, you know, as a community, you know, as Black people, you know, we really have to not put each other in these positions. Well, really, for me, I think, and this is, I say this as African-American, we cannot use each other as band-aids.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? I think if we are not willing to address the systemic issues, then we shouldn't even be stepping into certain places, because
correct.
Like, I feel like the issue with racism, like, and we could talk about that all day, and that it's systemic, and that it's institutional, and we can talk about, you know, that in that perspective, but we haven't dug to the root of systemicness as far as sexism and sexual harassment and things like that. So I think we really need to stop being surface level as a people, you know, like putting ourselves in that position where we're now, you know, going to be scrutinized. It's just like we swapped out the white man and put in a Black face, but yet still here we are.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, like we have to really think through that as a solution. Is it a viable solution?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not.
Yeah. So as always, you can find me on IG at Cook_Simmons. And you can also find me on Twitter at The Cook and Gooch occasionally if I feel like tweeting. There will be a major show announcement coming soon to the next episode. And we have new information, new content, just all of that new shit.
Come on, new.
Hey, all that new. It's on its way. I'm really looking forward to dropping this on you guys. So make sure you check your feeds, your RSS feeds, where we are. You can find this, as always, on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, which is apparently going away. So I guess Apple Podcasts, whatever the platform is going to be. Do we have to switch platform, or do we have to do something?
No, I don't think so. Because, I mean, the podcast app has been separate for a little while anyway. So you should be fine. Yeah.
Okay, but this just won't be available on iTunes. You have to log into Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, I think that's what they're saying. Yeah.
Subscribe. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. But yeah, looking forward to dropping all that on you, and I really hope you guys like what we do moving forward. And can't wait to rock with y'all. Y'all my niggas, my peoples and shit. So, you know, we're gonna do this. Okay, so once again, thank you, Stephanie Sunshine, for the Milk of Minutes. Thank you for coming by and helping me unpack these crazy situations. I want to go back to that first story. I want to talk about that in the group. I want to.
Yes, really please do. Please so
we
do.
Need to say all the raggedy things we really need to say that we didn't say on air about this story.
Right.
Preacher son.
Mm. Ooh, ciao.
And oh. So with that, I'll holler back.
Bye.
Peace. Oh gosh.